The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. To the masters. Break it down.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-G is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776, but please try to be a little better than you were in the first hour on the text. Couple of things here. If you missed any of the first hour, it's all available at podcastarena.com. A lot of people asking why we're not talking about Johnny Manziel.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that.
We'll get to that.
Don't you rush us. We had headphone thieves going around. That was a priority.
Yeah. There's more important stuff in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like how World War III is about to start, and people are like, why aren't you talking about Johnny Manziel? Get your priorities straight, boys.
Yeah. Boy, the Russians start attacking Turkey, it's going to get really ugly over there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Johnny Manziel getting demoted to third string is your story. Bad NFL refs are your story. Anyway. I'm concerned about that over there. I'm not going to lie. I think that's
should be.
That's about to, because go after Turkey, then we're involved.
Yeah.
Everybody's involved, and it gets ugly fast.
Let's talk to Craig.
Yeah, can you do this for 2 seconds? Because I have to respond to an email.
Yeah, I can handle that. You got work stuff going on?
Yeah, a little work stuff here.
Okay, I'll do the radio show then. No big deal. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
Sports.
AJ.
Yes.
I was wondering, did you see Mario Williams dogging it last night?
Yeah, I think Mario Williams is hurt. Honestly, he didn't look himself. Certainly,
He wasn't doing anything.
No, and eventually they pulled him out of the game. And
oh, okay, I didn't see that, but
yeah, he's hurt.
He wasn't doing anything.
He didn't play much in the fourth quarter. I'm not exactly sure what the status is with him, but he's definitely got something going on. He's got to be better than that, though. That's a guy that they have high expectations for. But Mario Williams had a foot injury that I was reading about it today. That they still haven't put out exactly what it is, and they say as of now his situation is uncertain. But he did not look good yesterday for sure.
They kept saying he was hurt, but
yeah,
I don't know. And to be honest, that's been the one knock on him that I've had throughout his career is when he's hurt, he doesn't quite perform up to the same level, but he always tries to get out there when he is hurt.
I don't know what's better.
Yeah, I don't either because there are times when he's still effective, but.
Because I'll say this, I was thinking at the end of that game yesterday, they should really sit Tyrod Taylor down. It's pretty clear that something was wrong with him, and I don't know if it's his shoulder or his collarbone or what. And Rex Ryan said today that he expects Tyrod to be available for this next game against the Chiefs. But, the last drive, that guy was clearly banged up, and there was nothing on his ball. He just looked like he shouldn't have been out there. And then they were warming up E.J. Manuel on the sideline, and then when the final drive comes, they send Tyrod Taylor out there again to throw more ducks. Sometimes I think it's maybe in the team's best interest to sit down if you're hurt. But that,
Yeah, it's just you hate – what you would hate if you're him is E.J. Manuel goes out there and throws the game-losing pick when, you could still get out there and move the team and have a chance and not screw up. And I just would feel terrible if I'm off the field and somebody else screws up. At least if I screw up, I can blame myself for it. But, in that case, it's hard. Guys don't want to come off the field. I don't want to blame them for that.
Yeah, but when you know, the concussion protocol is one thing,
yeah,
and I get that, but
when not that they get that right either.
Yeah, when your quarterback's clearly hurt, pull him off, right?
Yeah. Well, the good news is your guys are still very much in the playoff race, and I know it's not What Are the Odds Wednesday, but the New York Times did a playoff simulator and calculated each team's chances to make the playoffs.
Okay.
So you give me a team, and I'll give you a percentage based on what they project to happen for the rest of the season.
Okay. How about the New England Patriots?
99%.
Okay. So they're saying an asteroid would have to hit for the Patriots.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
Not to make the playoffs, which sounds about right. Well, let's start locally. Let's go with the Houston Texans.
39%.
That's a healthy number.
That is a healthy number. Well, and
what's it have the Colts at?
63%.
Okay. And I'm assuming that's the head-to-head win there is playing a factor. And then their schedule is a little bit better.
Right.
Who else is interesting right now? How about, well, let's talk about those lowly Buffalo Bills. Where do they sit?
The lowly Buffalo Bills sit at 36%.
They have a worse chance than the Texans, you're saying?
Yes. Basically, because right now, well, but that's going to change if the Bills beat them in 2 weeks. Because, and you know, we'll come back to this, but in the playoff picture, the way it's set up now, obviously the Patriots and Bengals and Broncos would be your division winners. The Chiefs and Steelers would be your wild cards. The Chiefs are 5-5 by virtue of that win over the Texans to start the season.
The Bills play the Chiefs this week as well.
So yeah.
This will all get sorted out.
Exactly. And then they play the Texans.
Right.
So the Texans right now are the 7th seed at 5-5 projected. Bills 8, 5-5. Jets 5-5. From the Texans' perspective, you've already beaten the Jets, which is good.
But you lost to the Chiefs.
You lost to the Chiefs, which is bad, but you do get to play the Bills. So, you know, if you can beat those two teams out, at least you're still 7th, but
what about the Jags, who are just one game
Jaguars
behind?
Right now are 4-6, the projected 11th seed, right behind the Raiders. So they're, of the 4-6 teams, they're second best behind the Raiders ahead of the Dolphins.
But they probably have a better percentage to make it than the Raiders because
the Jaguars' percentage is 7%.
What is the Raiders?
2%.
Oh, yeah, because remember the Raiders play in a division where there's an 8-2 first-place team.
Right.
The Jags are one game out of first place.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do this because we've talked about it quite a bit. The Dallas Cowboys, what is their percentage?
Vaqueros?
Vaquero de Dallas.
What would you guess their percentage?
I would guess their chance is about what the Raiders is, about somewhere between 2-5%.
It's a very good guess. 4%.
Okay. That sounds about right.
59% for the Giants, 21% for the Eagles, 17% for the Redskins, 4% for the Cowboys in the NFC East.
What about the Falcons?
The Falcons are sitting at 53%,
okay,
which
that's generous, I think.
Makes some sense because the fact that they got off such a great start has them in a good spot. But you look over at the NFC right now, and right now the Falcons would be the 6th seed. They are one game ahead of the Buccaneers, who've beaten them, one game ahead of the Seahawks, who I don't think any one of us wants to write off yet.
No.
Two games ahead of the Redskins and Rams and Eagles.
You remember when a couple of weeks ago we were looking, I guess it was week five, after week five when they were 5-0 and we were looking at the rest of their schedule and we were like, man, the Falcons might not lose a game.
Yeah.
And then they lost to the Saints.
And they lost again.
Then they lost to the Bucks. Then they lost to the 49ers. Now they lost to the Colts. All of a sudden, the rest of their schedule, a little bit tougher than we thought. Vikings at Bucks. At Panthers, at Jags, home to Panthers, home to Saints. They might go 2-4 down the stretch.
Oof.
And that's assuming they win let's say they win the Jags game and either the Saints or the Bucks game.
But do you feel like either one of those or any of those games?
No,
or
there's not a given on there.
Yeah.
The way they're playing, no way. That team is just melted. What are the Seahawks' chances?
The Seahawks are at, and I'm having to do two different screens here, 50%.
Okay.
Which kind of makes sense. I think the Seahawks are going to get in as a wild card, and nobody's going to want to mess with them.
That's going to be a scary team to see in the playoffs. But the good thing is for the rest of the NFC is that they won't have home field advantage.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're catching Arizona because I think Arizona's better than them.
Yeah.
But their schedule includes at Ravens, Browns, and Rams still. So they've got some wins to come. But they also have Steelers this week, which is going to be, I think, a really good game at Minnesota and at Arizona. So there's still some tough ones left there, too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But I'm a little surprised because, like, the Buccaneers at 5-5 have sneaked right back into this. And just like in the AFC, the Texans and the Chiefs, who I think 3 weeks ago we would have counted them both as dead, now at 5-5, sitting right in the playoff hunt.
Yeah.
So with the Jets and Bills, and I think the interesting part is I think 2 weeks ago we'd have penciled the Jets in as a wild card. And now they're all in that middle group. So it's all out there. We'll see what happens. Texter says, it sounds like everyone thinks the Texans fly through the Saints. Shouldn't the Texans be worried about the Saints' offense? Defense is horrible, but Breeze is Breeze.
There's no games. The Texans have been better, but there's no games that I'm like, oh, that's an automatic win. Even when they play Jacksonville or Tennessee, they're going to have to fight to win games.
I don't think you've heard that on this show, because I've said all along that if the Saints show up and play the way they did a few weeks ago when they were beating the Colts in Indy and beating the Falcons, that's going to be a loss. Yeah, the Texans aren't going to beat them if they play like that. The problem is, much like the Texans, they've been horribly inconsistent. So if they show up and play their best, I like their chances. But if they don't, I think and Breeze has struggled a lot, especially when they've gotten pressure on him. If the Texans can get pressure on him, that's how they're going to have to win the game. But no, that's no gimme by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. And you know, I don't know how I'm going to play it yet, but I might actually lean Saint there.
What are your thoughts at this point on the MVP race? We talked about it a little bit yesterday.
And yeah, we never kind of got back to that.
I thought Carson Palmer would be getting more love in this MVP race, but everything I'm reading basically says it's a two-man race at this point. And it's between Cam Newton and Tom Brady. I really think people are maybe overlooking what Carson Palmer's doing this year, but I could see why. I mean, these two teams are both undefeated. They're 10-0.
Yeah, I still think it... When it plays out, and it's funny because ESPN did a whole thing, and all they did was compare Brady and Newton.
Right.
And I do think Carson Palmer should be in that conversation, and he may be in a couple weeks if the Panthers lose a couple, and maybe the Cardinals wind up with home field in the NFC. I think his name will get a little more credit. Boy, I don't see a lot of other guys out there where you'd say, oh, yeah, this is...
I mean, Adrian Peterson maybe on the outside.
Maybe. And they, you know, they look like a playoff team. And
if they would have kept winning, I would have said Devontae Freeman is maybe a guy you could look at too. But they've started losing, and now not as impressive. I think I'll keep Palmer in there, but I think it's a three-horse race, but most people seem to think it's a two-horse race. I understand the running statistics for Newton are nice. But to me, Tom Brady's just been so good again. I think he's the go-to. Yeah, I think he's the guy. You talk about a guy who's completed 68% of his passes. Newton's at 57%.
And you know what, though, what they've both done that I'll give him credit for?
They've done it without anybody around them.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, yeah, you're right. They've got neither one of these guys. Every weapon that they could possibly have has been banged up in some way or the other.
And they do it in completely different ways.
Yep.
But they both get it done. All right, quick break. We'll grab some more phone calls when we return. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. John says, I agree Brady is the MVP, but certainly has weapons. Gronk has been healthy in Edelman up until last week. I do tend to forget Gronk. To me, Gronk is
Gronk, but Greg Olsen's a pretty good weapon, too.
Yeah, I would say... I'd say Gronk is better than Olsen, but Olsen's really good, and they both sort of function as elite receivers in their offenses.
They both have fill in the blank running backs behind them. I mean, Jonathan Stewart's been there forever, but he's Edelman, just a guy.
Yeah, Edelman is a tough little dude, but he's a little white guy that gets open.
Edelman, Amendola, Welker, fill in the blank. Yeah,
plug in the white guy.
They're all part of the same system. Those guys, and if they ever leave Tom Brady, They're just guys. It's like, what would Puff Daddy be without Biggie? He'd be just a guy. He'd be a dude walking around town. No one would know who he is. That's what Julian Edelman is without Tom Brady. He's Puff Daddy without Biggie. You probably don't get that reference.
Yeah, I have no clue.
But yeah, but that's what he is. John gets it. Thumbs up, John. All right.
Let's try Austin. What's up, Austin?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
I was going to see if y'all agree with me on something. I've been thinking for the past couple weeks that since, you know, the Texans have been winning and, you know, we're getting back in the playoff line and all that stuff, I guess in a way, would making the playoffs have kind of a I don't think it'd be the best thing for us because then, you know, we're going to get in that mindset like, you know, maybe we do have a winning team or we don't need a quarterback anymore or something. And then, you know, you go one and done in the playoffs and you're stuck in the middle of the draft. And we have a hard enough drafting good guys if we had the first or second pick of the draft. Yeah, you know, what are we going to do when we have.
But
you know,
honestly, you're not going to have
14th or 15th.
You're not going to have the first or second pick in the draft anyway. If you finish 6-10 or 7
yeah,
or 9,
past that.
You're in the. Yeah, at this stage. With 5 wins, you're not going to be anywhere near the first or second pick.
There's no way you're going to be worse than the 49ers.
No.
There's no way you'll be worse than the Ravens. I mean,
especially with Flacco out.
And it looks like you're going to be better than the Titans. It looks like you're going to be better than the Jags. I mean, you're talking about three or four spots, you know, from making the playoffs to